Psychedelic CBD with the heat index.
I guess all extremes are not welcome. Couldn't we just find a good middle somewhere?
Somewhere. I know it's out there somewhere.
Me too. Trying to keep up with it so I can plant myself there. That's the challenge.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the call. Has anyone else joined us on the phone?
Thank you.
And if you've joined us on the web, please feel free to enter your name and share where you're calling from. It's always fun to know who we're talking to. I hope I didn't lose you all. There's a little bit of fuzz in the background. If anyone can hear me, would you let me know?
You're good.
Thank you. As usual, I have fun experiences with my telephone. And I never know when it's staying with me and when it's not. I'm excited to see a few more people have joined us. This is the one-hour taste of the weekend with the greatest networker in the world. And we're really excited you're here. We're going to get started in a minute or two. And if anyone has joined us on the telephone, please feel free to introduce yourself and tell us where you're calling from. Watching the clocks, and all the clocks around me are showing a different time. I think I'll stick with the computer time. Again, I want to welcome you all onto the call. Sounded like a bit of an echo, and now it's going away, if we're lucky. All right, a few clicks and beeps. Back over here and refresh the page. And I see that we are at the top of the hour. I want to welcome you all to the call. My name is Mary Kay Weinhagen. I'm talking to you from Minnesota. We're really glad you're here to spend the next hour with us. Our speaker tonight is known to many of you as the greatest networker in the world. I'll venture a guess that he will disavow that, yet I can tell you that he is one of the, if not the, greatest learners of the world, especially in the industry of network marketing. To say he's been a tenacious student of the industry would be putting it mildly. His desire and willingness to learn more drove him to set aside his own shyness and go directly to the leaders who were successfully building their network marketing businesses and explore with them exactly what makes their business work, and he was soon pushing them to make it even better. As a result, he has made and continues to make a huge contribution to those of us in the industry through his books, including the million-plus bestseller, The Greatest Networker in the World, as well as his truly gifted knack for drawing the most practical information out of the industry leaders, which he shares in the mastermind sessions. When referring to his book, Conversations with the Greatest Networker, the president and CEO of OxyFresh Worldwide, Richard Brooks, said, "Conversations is the path to mastery. Once again, Mr. Fogg illuminates the way of the MLM warrior." Tom Big Al Schreider says, "Most books teach you what to believe. John Fogg is one of those remarkable people who teaches you how to believe. I'm not sure how many of you are aware that this gentleman has also been a longtime student of the inner game. His passion for understanding personal growth and development has taken him on a journey through many intense seminars held by experts in the field. You experience his depth of understanding not only when he compels you to stand up and tell the truth to yourself about yourself, but in his willingness to be transparent himself. I can tell you from personal experience that one of the most powerful gifts he offers is not telling me what to do, instead showing me who and how to be that so I, too, can become the greatest networker in the world. And I'm sure that's something all of you are interested in doing. So tonight, let's get a taste of what a priceless weekend with this man has to offer by welcoming John Milton Fogg.
You wrote all that, didn't you?
I did.
You're very good.
Thank you. You are, too. It was easy.
Yes, our mutual admiration society here. I'm genuinely impressed. That was like, you know, you got to get it down a little bit more so it sounds like you're not reading it. But wow.
All right.
That's something. Thanks. Sorry,
most
sorry, my
welcome.
Sorry,
thank
my mom's
you.
Not here.
Yeah, she ought to be. I don't know why she's not. So I'm so excited you're here.
Well,
and you're gonna share with us how you came up with this idea of having a small group of people come to your home.
Oh, okay. there are two neat ways to come at that, for me at least, and I hope they're of interest to the people listening. One is, I really took I'm 61 years old, and it's time for a little reinvention. I'm watching direct sales, network marketing. I'm watching it evolve. In some ways, I'm watching it devolve. and we can talk about that if you want to. We'll talk about that a little bit in terms of the people in the weekend, because I think the probably the greatest potential that network marketing has right now is its marriage with the internet. That combination of high tech and high touch is it's a dream come true, and so far it's about as misunderstood, strangely utilized. I mean, my image of it, Mary Kay, is people flailing around. I mean, literally, arms flailing, looking for some way to make it work, to make it really work. And the fundamentals are all right there, and they're right in front of our faces. And not that many people are doing it. Anyhow, I'm digressing with that. So I'm looking at this whole thing, and one of the things I did was I went back over the majority of the material that I've collected or created over the last 20 years. And I also did my own research on it, which is not formal. It's not like scientific, but it is picking up the phone and calling people and speaking to them and asking them, and asking friends of friends and people of friends and stuff like that. And one of the things that I discovered, and it was certainly a happy discovery, and to give it a context for all of you listening, please, because Mary Kay and I have been together, I don't know, 10 years more?
Yep.
So she knows this all full well. There is no sharper nor persistent critic of John Fogg on this planet than John Fogg. I'm always looking at what I'm doing and who I'm being, and not looking. I'm looking for the negatives, and it's not. Although when it's, you know, sometimes it is. Sometimes it's dwelling on the negative. Sometimes it's those negative thought patterns. But really, more than anything, it's looking with a very sharp eye to see what adjustments need to be made. what things are out, are there any things out of integrity? What assumptions am I making that simply aren't true? So I take a good hard look at that, and I looked back over The Greatest Networker, which was written all the way back in 1992. That book is 17 years old. And to my pleasure, the book still has legs, in quotes. People are discovering it still today. They're reading it or listening to it for the first time, and they've got a tremendous appreciation for it. People do call it a classic, and I think its long-enduring quality is that it's an emotional story that touches people on that level of feeling. And one of the things about it is it's a book about belief, and that's where a great deal of my work has gone over the last number of years, looking at my own life, studying the lives of other people, coaching and teaching in network marketing. I realized that the number one most important area for people's development is that whole business of belief. And it's very simply because what your mind believes you will achieve, always and in all ways. We say that your business will only grow as big and as fast as you do, and it's a wonderful cliche, but the fact is it's true. And I've been fortunate enough over the last 20 years to interview and write about and do conversations like in the mastermind sessions with, I don't know how many, network marketing leaders. And it's something that I have come to absolutely know beyond any shadow of any doubt, is that belief in this profession, belief in your products, belief in your company, belief in yourself, belief in your ability to do this and to succeed at doing this is tremendously important. And part of what I came up with was a new definition of belief that would be more accessible for people and more useful for people, because, in fact, the old definition of belief really gets in our way more than it supports us. It diminishes our creative ability. So I'm discovering all these things and how this stuff is still relevant and germane. And so, okay, I'm satisfied with that the things that I'm saying are still a contribution. And, you know, I was screaming and screeching even and preaching back 15, 20 years ago about the importance of relationships and shipping and receiving, relationshipping to friendshipping to partnershipping to leadershipping, and how that's so much what this business is about. And I got a lot of criticism back 17, 15 years ago.
Oh, you know, we don't have time for that. You can't build a big business doing that. Nyet, 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 nyet.
Well, you know, and here we are in 2009 with everybody talking about relationships and giving value with social media and Web 2.0. So, in point of fact, the kind of stuff that I revealed, studied, learned, saw is perhaps even more important today in terms of our success in this business than it ever has been before. Now, in terms of the weekend itself, I really put myself through one of my own processes, and it was stimulated by a conversation with a gentleman who I trust you will know, Mr. Robert G. Allen. Bob Allen is the author of Multiple Streams of Income. He wrote that New York Times bestseller. That was a New York Times bestseller, No Money Down. And Bob's coming out with a new book, Cash in a Flash. And he's made that book with, has written that book already with Mark Victor Hansen. We have an echo screaming around in the back.
Yeah,
what's going on, folks, is that somebody has the webcast coming over their computer, and you're on the phone as well. you're going to have to cancel out of that because the webcast has a 15 to 18 second delay, and it's going to feed back into the call. So thanks for doing that. One of the things that in from Bob's book, Cash in a Flash, and the reason I'm talking with Bob so much is that he and I are working together on a book. I'm not the co-author. I'm really helping him to research, brainstorm, investigate, look at these angles, turn him on to various people. What Bob wants to do is write a number one best-selling book about direct sales and network marketing. He wants to show that in this day and age, it is the number one choice is being an entrepreneur, and the number one way to be an entrepreneur is to go into direct sales network marketing. And I don't know if you know that Bob himself is a very successful network marketer. He's with a company called USANA, and he's one of the leaders in that company. And he's built an honest-to-goodness residual income about $500,000 a year. So the man really does know what he's doing. Anyway, Bob and I are talking back and forth, and one of his pet deals is go for the low-hanging fruit. And that is when you're looking for ways to make money, when you're looking for endeavors that you can really get into, don't go reaching for the stars. Look around at what's absolutely right in front of your face. What do you love to do? What are you really good at? And so I took Bob's motivation, if you will, along with some processes that I've learned about or developed, especially in and around the Belief Busters material, and took a really good look at what do I love to do? What am I really great at doing? What am I best at? And that always comes down to what do you love? What do you love to do? Well, I love to write, and I'm good. And so that was part of it. Well, okay, what's behind that? Yes, great, you love to write, and you're good. So what's behind that? So what was behind it for me is I love to learn, and I love to teach. Ah, now we're getting somewhere. So if I could create out of the low-hanging fruit an opportunity for myself, which would be purely powerful by virtue of that it was what I loved most to do, that would be learning, teaching. And how do I want to do that? What kind of learning and teaching environment would work? What could I structure? And that's when I went right back to the book, In the Greatest Networker in the World, and realized that why I wrote that was that I've had many experiences like that in the home of a mentor, personally having conversation, really being with them in that close environment, that alive conversation. One of my mentors taught me that life is created in conversation, and I think if you take a look at your life, you'll see the role that conversation plays. And so if I had my absolute ideal scenario, it would be that you would come over to my house, and we would sit, and we would sit on the deck or in front of the fire, depending on the season it was. In Minnesota, we could always sit in front of the fire, no matter what time of year it was.
Yes, we could.
You know, we'd sit in the rocking chairs up here on this deck or down on the brick patio. We'd sit in the Adirondack chairs and have, you know, whatever you want to drink, coffee, tea. I'll get you a beer if I've got one in the house, glass of wine, whatever. And we would talk together. And what I like to do most is, because I am such a teacher and because I am a coach, is find out what it is that you need. What do you want? What kinds of things can I offer you in terms of resources or skills that I could help you develop or a new way of looking at things and understanding questions that I could ask that would open you up to becoming more and more successful. Because for years I've realized that what the business I'm in, and I honestly think the business that all of us are in direct sales and network marketing, whether we know it or not, like it or not, we're in the business of transforming people's lives. And that's where the greatest juice and jazz is for me. So, kind of long-winded answer, Mary Kay, to your question. I thought, okay, let's do it like the greatest networker. But instead of just this kind of chance encounter and come to my house on Friday afternoon, spend the weekend, and let me help you. Let me show you how to do this business. Let me help you grow your business by growing yourself. And so that's what I decided to do. That was the birth of the weekend. And although I can explain to you some sophisticated reason for having five people be here, if you look at the model of the modern American, at least, military, I don't know about other ones, it's done in fives. There are five across, and then five across, and then five across. It's one of the original reasons that some of the very first compensation plans in multi-level marketing were based on five who get five who get five. If you've been around for a number of years, you probably remember hearing that. You know, five who get five who get five. Well, that's that old military model. Well, I can explain it to you that way, that's why I'm having five people. But the truth is, that would be a lie. I'm having five people because we have two living rooms in our house, and the one where we will be gathering, if the weather is not cooperating, we'll be outside. If the weather isn't cooperating, there is a couch which seats three, a love seat which seats two, and another chair for me. So that's six. That's me and five other people. And then it just so happens that out on the patio, there is a round glass table, coffee table-like, and around it are six chairs. So that's why five people.
I love it. Nice practical reason.
Very sophisticated. And, you know, if somebody beat down the door and said, I have to be in this July 1, I'd probably back off and...
go borrow a chair?
Yeah. You know, I'd carry one of the heavy rockers down there, and we'd just make extra space.
Of course,
it
right.
It would be okay, and somebody could sit on cushions in the inside.
Exactly. So I feel like you touched on a few things that you'd like to accomplish over this weekend, but is there more that you could flesh out for us about your hopes? I heard you talk about... really opening people up to find out what will work for them to grow their business, to grow themselves.
Well, Mary Kay, I claim no expertise in having somebody build a business, in showing you how to build a business. And you don't need me to tell you that.
Right.
Anyway, every one of you listening has people in your company who have done it, who know how to do it. Now, the only challenge you might have in a place where I could be helpful in that area is what I have done in terms of how to, quote unquote, how to build a business, is I've assembled the people who I absolutely, wholeheartedly believe know how to build a business. And I've collected those through a variety of interviews, articles, the mastermind sessions that I do. And what I will be doing is pointing people towards those people who model and embody a way of doing the business that's right for you. Part of the problem with network marketing, to me, has been in the past that there are many, many ways to do this business successfully. Many, many how-to paths or directions or highways. The challenge is, which is the one that's the fit for you? And there's a bit of a a trap in that. Tom Schreider, and I agree with this wholeheartedly, is famous for saying there's, I've paraphrased it to say there's one and only one right way to do this business, and that's the way that's best for you. What's the fit for you? What plays to your strengths? What plays to your style? What are you good at? What makes you happy? You know, what makes you feel the best? And those are the way to do the business. And again, there's a bit of a trap in that. And I just did a mastermind session with a phenomenal woman named Dana Collins. She's one of the top 10 leaders in Arbonne. This is a stay-at-home mom who makes over $1 million a year staying at home as a mom. I mean, wow, it's incredible. And Dana's been in the business for 15 years. And these are the kinds of people I want you to learn from about how to build your business. Not me. I have other areas of expertise I can teach you about, belief, speaking and listening, some coaching, other things like that, helping you develop and gather the resources that you want. And part of my deal on this weekend is, look, everything I have and have collected or created over the last 20 years is yours. It's all yours. The only question is, you know, how do we get at it? How do we know what's right for you? And that's going to come through conversation. But Dana said something that just blew me away. She was 5 years in the business, and she was doing okay. But she wasn't burning the house down. And she wasn't doing what she really wanted, which was really to tear it up. I mean, she did, whether she knew or not she wanted to be a $1 million annual income earner, I don't know that. But I know that she had her sights set really high. And I asked her, what was the turning point? What was the point at which you really began to take off like a shot, where you knew you were going to be a rock star? And she said it was the moment that she clearly got that the way she was going to succeed in this business was to get over herself. I said, excuse me? She said, I had to get over myself. And I said, well, you know, please, what does that mean? And what it meant for Dana, and this is something, boy, I dearly hope you all take to heart. What she had to get over was, here she is in Arbonne, and Arbonne is predominantly party plan. And that's how most all of the Arbonne success stories have been created, by having home or perhaps even a little more formal gatherings of all kinds of themes. I mean, you could, you know, they do margarita parties, and Arbonne's part of that. You know, they might do a barbecue, they might do something with ice cream, you know, who knows? But it was all based on that. And she simply could not see herself doing that. She was a corporate executive, corporate America type person. Briefcase, you know, great looking suit, beautifully tailored, putting yourself together, showing up at the office, that kind of deal. And when she finally got that, look, there's tremendous power in this system of the party plan, and she put herself into that and embraced it, she got over herself, she got over her own point of view, and just went to work. That's when she took off.
Wow.
And I've noticed in myself, and I've noticed in many, many, many network marketers over the last 20 years, that one of the things about the people who are struggling is they need to get over themselves. They need to set aside how they think it has to be. And, you know, we say you got to treat it like a business. Well, try a slightly different approach, just in your mind right now. Just experiment with this, play with this. What if instead you treated it like a job? What if instead you showed up for work, you did what you were told to do, whether you liked it or not, and you went home at 5? And you approached your network marketing business like that. I'll bet you, for any of you who are on this call and find yourself struggling, go treat it like a job for a week. It's only a week, just 1 week. Treat it like a job. Pretend you've got a boss who's telling you what to do. You already know what those things are, how many calls you need to make in a day, what you need to say, what you need to be doing to actively get out there and do that. Do that for 1 week like you had just taken a job. Because if you took a job and they told you to do these things and you did not do them, you'd get fired. It's very simple. You wouldn't have a job anymore.
Right.
But there's nobody to fire you in network marketing. So treat your network marketing business like a job for a while and see what that's like. There's a great video right now if you go to nmpro.com. And it was uncanny because I had been thinking about this since I did the mastermind session with Dana Collins. And today I hear Eric Ware, who does nmpro.com, and Mike Dillard talking about this very thing. Treat your network marketing business like a job. So
that's a fascinating challenge.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, that's fun. And is that where we're going to bump into some beliefs we're holding around this whole thing?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anybody listening to this call, and there's not going to be anybody coming to the weekend, who doesn't know really what it takes to build a successful business in terms of how to. Now, there are skills we need to learn. And one of the fundamental reasons I start with the skills of speaking and listening, Mary Kay, is because I think they are the absolute foundation upon which you build any network marketing business. You've got to learn speaking and listening. Speaking is asking great questions. And there's much more to say about that. Listening is really setting aside your own agenda and really fully and completely listening to people. Now, on the webcast page for this call tonight, there is a link to the speaking and listening quiz. And it's free of charge. If you go to the website, it's speakingandlistening.com/quiz. But if you just click on that link, you can take this take this quiz online, and it'll give you a score. And what the quiz is all about is it will specifically ascertain for you what are 11 of the ways we don't listen. And I've contended for years and will fight to the death for the truth of what I'm about to say. You will listen more people into this business than you will ever talk into your business. It's all about listening, listening for their needs and wants, listening for their values, listening for what's most important to them in their lives. And my friends, you can connect at a heart-to-heart level with another human being in 3 minutes or less if you learn how to listen for what's most important to people. And you remove those things in your mind. It's all mental. You remove those things in your mind that are getting in the way. And those things are things like you're preparing what you want to say next. You can't listen if you're doing that. If you're thinking of what you're going to say next, if you're waiting for an opening to drive your 18-wheeler of an opportunity or a product through, you're not listening to people. If you're busy creating your own meaning for what they say, you're not listening to people. If you're fighting with people, if you're interpreting, and take that quiz, because that will show you at least 11, and I'm not saying there are only 11. You can come up with your own. But these are all of the reasons that get in the way of the fact that you can't really hear other people. And it all has to do with conversation inside your head. It all has to do with thinking at the same time as someone else is speaking. Because real listening to another human being requires your full and focused attention. And it's like being on this call. You can't, or listening, you know, I don't know if you've ever tried this. I keep trying, and I keep failing. I'll have an MP3 file, or like I mentioned, Eric Worre's network marketing, nmpro.com, where he's interviewing Mike Dillard. And I'll put that on, trying to save some time, because time is my most precious thing. I'll put that on the computer, and I'll click it, and so I'll hear them talk, and then I'll go check my email. Well, inevitably, there is a piece of email that I, you know, just by its title, even if I'm just reading the titles, now I've taken my attention away from this conversation. I've taken my attention away from truly listening. You cannot multitask. I know this will come as a shock to some of the women listening, but you can't listen to another human being and do anything else except breathe, smile, blink your eyes. Biological processes.
So those of us who were tempted to go take that quiz right now, we're no longer listening.
Not to me.
That's what it means.
Yeah. Sure, and we do it all the time. You know, we try and do double duty. We try and multitask. Now, that's not to say that you can't do some stuff. I mean, one of the great ways for you to constantly feed yourself and educate yourself and raise your value, raise your human net worth, is to study and learn new things all the time, consistently, day in, day out. Well, if you drive a car day in, day out, please hook up your iPod or your MP3 player or burn CDs and get them in your car and turn that into a university. If you're mowing the lawn, doing the dishes, working out on the Stairmaster or a treadmill, you can do that. I'll tell you something, you can't lift weights and do it. You start counting, 1, 2, 3, 4. You can't hear. You can't hear that over the counting. So listening is very powerful. It's transformational. It's healing. And masterful listeners realize that the questions come out of the conversation. Sometimes, in the beginning, you may need to study a script to help you say things until you get to a point where you're really comfortable with it, and then that script gets thrown away. It's the same thing with a duplicatable system. You use the duplicatable system that's in place. Get over yourself. Use that and do that. Until such time as naturally and organically your own system comes out of your success. But if you're not as successful as you want to be, then quit trying to create the system to create that. Go look for it in your organization, upline, downline, sideline, crossline. And if you're one of those MLM widows or orphans, and you're out there, I know you are, then you got to take on something like, you know, get Randy Gage's book. There are a number of people who have written some great books. Get a subscription to the Mastermind Sessions that I do, themastermindsessions.com. It's less than $10 a month, and you'll be listening to the very best in the business, Donna Johnson, Jordan Adler, Randy Gage, these incredible men and women who have built extraordinary organizations, and they will help you ramp up and amp up your belief level, and they'll let you know. I mean, it's hysterical. Take two names I just mentioned, Jordan Adler on one hand, Randy Gage on the other. Both of these men are making over $1 million, substantially over $1 million a year in the business. Randy Gage says, or has said, you can't build a big business bringing on one person a month. Not possible. You need massive action. Randy's making over $1 million a year, so okay, Randy. He talked to Jordan Adler, making over $1 million a year. So, Jordan, how do you do this? Bring on one person a month. So you got to get, folks, that there is not a one and only right way to do this business. That's why I don't teach how to. What I do, and part of my maybe even brilliance, I don't know, but it's good. Part of that is that I go find for you, and I bring them to you so that you can listen and know, can you do it the way Randy does it? Can you do it the way Jordan does it? Can you do it the way Donna Johnson does it? Jackie Ulmer does it? You know, these people have done it, and they serve as models for you to study and choose. And at some point, you may be even able to pick and choose. Well, I want this part of Randy or this part of Jordan or this part of Donna. This part of Dana. And you will begin to formulate your own. But until such time as you've got that, I highly recommend you approach your business like a job. You know, find a manager, find a supervisor, and do what they tell you.
Right, I think that's a great idea.
And, you know, there was a beautiful thing that I learned from that Mike Dillard did when he started in the business. He was hugely shy. Hugely shy. And he knew that in order to succeed in network marketing, he wasn't going to be allowed to be shy anymore. That's what he had to get over. That was the part of himself he had to get over. And so he took a job as a telemarketer calling doctors. I believe specifically it was surgeons, calling surgeons' offices to sell them something. I don't even know what it was. The first day he was there, I think he called 300 people.
Wow.
You know, just one of these boiler room kinds of deals. And he said it didn't take him but 2 or 3 days before he was not shy anymore. And you can imagine what that would be like. You know, just get in there and get over yourself. Do the thing that will assist you in moving past whatever's stopping you. And, you know, there are many, many ways to do that. That's just one. It's an intriguing one for me because I'm one of those shy people. I mean, it may sound funny because, you know, oh, you're famous, you wrote this book, you did this, you did that. You know, I've stood on stage in front of 25,000 people and Moscow's Olympic Stadium and got away with it, didn't die. even got a standing ovation at the end. You know, very cool, thank you. But I'm basically shy. And so it really intrigues me with what Mike did to get over that. And these are the kinds of things in the weekend that we'll be exploring with people. And looking for ways to have you do this business in the best way for you.
I don't want to interrupt your flow here, but I know time is moving and there's just so many. I want to pack the whole weekend into one call, and I know how silly that is.
Well, but, you know, go, sweetie, go for something you think is important.
whatever.
Well, I want to know, just in light of what you've been talking about then, if we're talking to people on the phone, for instance, and you're talking about that power of listening, and I truly, I mean, I've seen you in action with that and really connecting with people quickly, yet could you give us an example of a great question? You can't just call up people and just listen. You have to introduce yourself, and you have to start a conversation. What's an example of a great question?
It's that one's hard to do straight out because there's so many different circumstances. Now, one of the things that I spoke about toward the beginning of the call, where I've talked relationship. Now let's combine a Web 2.0 social media approach here and a live in-person network marketing approach, because the truth is they're exactly the same. It's just that in one of them, you may be playing more with a keyboard. And another one, you know, you may be live and in person. And there are a number of books and resources out there to help you with these conversations. First thing to get is it's all a conversation. That's why I teach and start with speaking and listening. Because it's all speaking and listening. Now, there's an approach with social media that's an important approach. And unfortunately, some of the superstars of social media contradict this. And you've got to have a perspective that really helps you see the big picture of that. You look at these people who've got 17,000 people or 20,000 people following them on Twitter, or they've got three accounts on Facebook and they're all filled up, 5,000 here, 5,000 here, 5,000 here. And you watch what they do. Don't do that. Don't do what they do. They're playing in a whole different ball game than you are. I mean, one of the strategies that I'm going to reveal at the TGN weekend that we're going to talk about is there's so much in social media for you to do that if you begin to do it all, you're dead meat.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you, you will spend all of your time playing around in the black hole of the internet. You won't be making any money, and you'll wonder where your day went every day, and that's going to get very, very old in a matter of weeks at the most. Now, there are some people who stay in that place, sadly. They just don't get it. But one of the things that I suggest to people is grab Twitter and Facebook and a blog. Stick with those three to start. With Twitter, you can put in your updates, and you can get an add-on that'll have those updates show up on Facebook. Now you've killed two birds with one stone. All your Twitter updates are showing up on your profile and on your friends' news feed in Facebook. So you just leveraged your time. Good move. And have a blog, use your blog posts and your notes on Facebook, and combine them together. So once again, you're leveraging your time, and you're leveraging your impact. And don't go posting day after day after every day after every day. I mean, you're going to see these people, you know, who are posting 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 times a day. You know, and they just, you marvel at how they do it. Well, how they do it is, this is their life. That's what they do for a living. And many of them have virtual assistants who are actually doing it for them because they've loaded it up at a different time or something like that.
Right.
One of the things that I recommend is go pick a couple of days a week and a couple of times and control those days and those times.
And what I mean by that is have a flurry of tweets, updates to put out. And so you put a little bit out on a daily basis. Hey, I'm doing this. Hey, I'm doing that. This is happening. That's happening. But you've also got a bunch of quotes. You've got links to things that interest you. And you tend to bunch those together at certain times and certain days. And you can see, without too much trouble, when those times and days would be best for you. Now, how this ties in to, you know, what do you say to people? What are the kinds of questions you ask? Here's something that most of the people playing around, especially the new people with social media, let's stick with Twitter and stick with Facebook, they do what I call drive-by posting.
Yes.
And drive-by posting is, great post. Love that. You go, girl. Now, once in a while, that's cool and that's fun. But what you want to do is to be really personally responsive to people. That's how you build the relationships. You need to give value and get into relationships. Relationships and value and relationships. Back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. That's the game. It takes more time. But it also takes more time doing that in person. The philosophy that I think comes out of The Greatest Networker is what I call get rich slow. Now, it's a variation on the theme of get rich quick. You know, I mean, it's a play on that,
mm-hmm.
in opposition to it. But I'm also sincere about it. Allow, you know, get some patience. I did a tweet today just because I came across it. That a bamboo tree, certain bamboo trees, the seed will be underground and you won't see a thing for 7 whole years. For 7 years, that seed is under the ground doing its quiet, gentle, moving thing. But once it pokes its little shoot up, it can grow 13 feet in a week.
Wow.
But remember, it's been under the earth for 7 years. Allow your prospecting relationships to be like that. Now, here's a counterpoint. Some of you listening, some of you out there, and some of your mentors and teachers and uplines are capable of doing the massive action game. And massive action works. Absolutely, positively. Randy Gage does a 90-day blast. That's what he recommends. You make a list, check it twice, find out who's naughty and nice, and then you are on the phone and on the phone and on the phone and with them and in front of them and talking to them. Boom, 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 boom. Now, like I said, that works, but it works for some kinds of people, and it doesn't work for other kinds of people. Very much the same as many of us have different sports that we excel at. You know, some of you may be terrific runners, some of you ball players, some of you skiers. We have strengths, we have coordinations, we have an affinity for certain movements. And you've got to find that in network marketing. You've got to find yours. So if you happen to not be the massive action type, but you're signed on to a organizational culture that's all about massive action, you can end up pretty disheartened. Because you can't see yourself doing that. You're not good at that. You're not comfortable and confident at doing that yet. And one of the beauties about network marketing, unlike a job, is you don't have to be good at any of this. You can learn. You don't have to be great at prospecting. You don't have to be great at public speaking. You don't have to be great at training. What you have to be great at is learning. Because you can learn any aspect of this business. As I mentioned Dana Collins, and I'm talking about her, one, because I'm enamored of these women in our bond that I've talked to are just blowing me away, because they are such consummate pros. And at the same time, you know, there's a whole lot of love going on, a whole lot of family going on, caring for each other going on. But there's also, you know, some really running neck and neck in that with is some real hard pro kind of approach. And I'm going back to Dana's business of get over yourself. You know, she was a corporate executive type thrust into a party plan culture. And she doesn't do parties. She doesn't have people over to her house. She doesn't go over to other people's houses and hang out. And especially doesn't go over to other people's houses, hang out, and show them a line of skincare products or talk about a business opportunity. What she found, though, Mary Kay and all of you listening, is when she did it the way she was told to do it, it worked. And she did it more, and it worked even more. And now she's making $1 million. I mean, you've got to decide, folks, what are you willing to do for the dreams and goals and vision you have? You can slowly but surely get into relationship with people, develop a friendship with people, find out if partnership is what they want and what you want with them. You're looking for the fit. And that's what you do when you build your business. You're constantly going out and looking for the fit. Now, there are people who will tell you, especially some of the internet marketers, do not make a list of your family and friends. I have an opinion about that, which is that that's insane. You bet make a list of your family and friends. And one of the things that people don't do in network marketing, and it is so simple, and it is so classic, and it has been here since the first network marketer ever opened his or her mouth, is Art Jonak wrote a gorgeous article on this called The Notification Principle. And it is very simply to email or mail, or if you're really smart, send out cards.
Yes.
Or call and have a conversation telling people you've started a new business. If you opened a restaurant or a bicycle shop or a beauty salon, what would you do? No, I'm not going to tell my family and friends. I refuse to have them at my grand opening. You know, this Dana Collins refrain is coming. Get over yourself. Of course you're going to call your family and your friends. Well, you do the same thing, you know, with your Isagenics business. You do the same thing with your MaxGL business. You do the same thing, the same thing, the same thing, the same thing. First order of business is notify people you've got a new business. And you can do that very authentically and from the heart. It's really simple. You know, hey, Mary Kay, this is John. How are you? Quack, 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 quack.
Right.
Listen, the purpose of my call is to tell you about a new business I just started. I'm very excited about it. I'm doing this, I'm doing that, And I just want to let you know, if you know anybody and you can talk about your product at that point, or you can talk about your opportunity or both, you are simply notifying them. You're not selling them. You're not pushing. You're not doing anything. You're simply telling them that you're in business. And for all of you, there are a couple of hundred people you could tell you're in a new business. And one of the things about friends is friends support each other. That's why when I'm talking about shipping and receiving, I'm talking about relationshiping to friendshiping to partnershiping, and you develop your organization through leadershiping. The first thing is relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, whether or not we're talking to people in a library or an art museum or two people in line at the supermarket, job number one is connect. You connect with somebody.
Yeah. Right.
Then you, through conversation, take that connection into a relationship. Relationship is very simple. Hi, my name's John. What's yours? Mary Kay. Great. Now we have a relationship. It's not a deep one. It's not an old one. It's not a long one. We don't know much about each other. We are in relationship. Now the game is to expand and enhance the experience of that relationship. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're playing with Web 2.0 or, again, standing in line at the supermarket or sitting next to somebody at a sporting event. You begin to talk to them. And there are great conversations you can have. One of the ones I demonstrate frequently is, where do you live? And part of listening that I'm teaching at this weekend and have taught for years is when we try and listen, one of the problems is we give ourselves this command. We know we need to listen better. You take the speaking and listening quiz. You know you need to listen better. And so you give yourself that post-hypnotic suggestion, oh, I'm really going to listen better. And it's really hard. And the reason it's really hard is because your mind, your rational, analytical mind, needs something specific to do. Otherwise, it's a naughty monkey. It's going to get in trouble. And the specific thing to do, if you want to really help your listening along and really accelerate, give some velocity to raising your listening skills, listen for people's values. Those things that are most important to people in their lives. And when you simply, and it's more complicated than this, and it takes more skill than this, but honestly, this works. Go and listen for people's values when you're talking to them. What values am I hearing here? Should I demonstrate this, Mary Kay?
Yeah, I wish you would. It is 9 o'clock. Do we have more time on the call?
I've got more time scheduled for the recording and for the call, and I'd be happy if for those of you who figured it was 9 to 10 and you got to go. Bless you. Thank you for being here. Please go to johnmiltonfogg.com/TGNweekend. Check it out. It ain't cheap, and it's a bargain. What you're getting is a relationship with me in which I promise to change your life for the better forever and to give you access, complete access, to anything and everything I've created in the last 20 years. That's what the offer is. And I can tell you this, that there are people, of the five people coming to the July workshop, and I haven't talked to two of them, one of them, who hadn't sponsored people for ages, one of them has now sponsored 4 or 5 people in the last 10 days, and each one of those people is the kind of person she's always wanted to work with, but for some reason never could contact before. two of the other people in the process of simply filling out the application told me that it was a life-changing experience. That with their words, I didn't volunteer that for them. Just filling out the application, going through that process, and the questions I asked them in return just completely shifted how they looked at things. So that's what's available. Please go check it out. Now, for those of you who are willing to hang around for a while longer, I need a volunteer, and Mary Kay won't do. And what I want this volunteer to do is simply have a conversation with me. And it's a very simple conversation, not dangerous, completely safe, I promise.
It will be painless.
So, anybody on the phone line willing to do this?
Sure.
I'm sorry, speak up, please. Did you say sure?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can. You're a little soft for me. So I don't know if you're on a headset or what the deal is. Can you do something?
Yeah, I was on a headset.
I'm sorry?
I was on a headset.
Okay, you sound much brighter now. What's your name?
Carla.
Hi, Carla. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm simply going to have a conversation with you.
Okay.
And do this conversation just like you were sitting on an airplane or anywhere, any conversation with somebody that you just met.
Okay.
All right? Now, for the rest of you listening, I want you to listen for Carla's values, those things that are most important to her in her life. You will hear them. Do not make up what you think her values are. She will communicate in two ways, words and music. She will choose her words, whether she thinks she does or not, with care. That's the job of the rational, analytical left brain. That's what it does. The music will be the feeling. Excuse me, the energy. And you can hear both of them. So, Carla, are you nervous?
A little bit.
And is it, what is it that you're nervous about?
I guess being the example. It didn't sound hard when I volunteered.
Well, I appreciate your courage.
Thank you.
Tell me, where do you live?
Virginia.
Really? Where in Virginia?
Roanoke.
Roanoke?
Mm-hmm.
You're right down the road from me.
Okay.
Well, I'm in Charlottesville.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm calling you from Charlottesville.
Oh, wow.
And Roanoke, what do you suppose, 2 hours away?
I don't remember. Not...
So you don't come up to Charlottesville much?
No, I don't travel much.
How long have you been in... excuse me, you said I don't travel much, and that really sounded sad.
Yeah, I haven't been able to travel much in the past 10 years. In the past 10 years.
Past 10 years. Is travel something you did before?
I was able to do it before, and now I'm limited.
And is it too personal for me to ask you in what way are you limited?
No, physically, I have fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue, so it's just difficult.
So it's too hard for you to do?
Yeah, at this time.
I understand. And what are you doing about your condition?
Well, I see a osteopathic doctor, and I drink Mona-V, and I take some supplements,
and is that,
try to get enough rest.
Has that been able to help you, Carla?
Yeah, I'm doing better. I'm doing better now than I was a year ago, so.
Good for you. Tell me, how long have you been in Roanoke?
All my life.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Far out. keeps you there? What do you like best about it?
Well, I love the mountains. And, of course, growing up here, I have had a lot of family. And so my son's still here. My daughter just moved a week or two ago.
Oh. So. My daughter is, my oldest daughter is 28. And she's moving to Hawaii.
Oh, my goodness.
On July 7th.
Oh, that's too far away.
Well, all right, let me do my own self one better. I have a 23-year-old son who is in Kyoto, Japan for a year on a scholarship studying Japanese tea ceremony, the way of tea.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, it's hard when they go away.
Yeah.
So, the mountains, what do you like most about that?
I don't know. It's just I love the green mountains with the different shaped trees, you know, the Appalachian Mountains. I went out west once and I didn't like the Rocky Mountains with the you know, the ones that were made of rocks, and I mean they were interesting, but they just weren't the same as the ones with the big trees. And
do you know that the Appalachians are the oldest mountain range in the world?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And I just know that when we were coming back from out west, when we got to Kentucky, I just had this big wave of relief come over me when I could see the mount, you know, the green mountains and the green grass, and it wasn't flat anymore.
What was that feeling all about?
I don't know. It's just home.
Guys, somebody's making a tremendous amount of noise, and it's really distracting. You can push star. Is it star 6, Mary Kay?
Yeah, it's star 6 to mute.
Okay. You can push star 6 if you've got a lot going on in the background. So, Carla, I'm sorry to interrupt you. what were you saying about, you said you didn't know, and I got that. But what is it about the mountains and the green that feels so right to you, so good to you?
I'm not really sure. I love rolling hills. I love the, you know, the roundness of the mountains and the height. I'm just a mountain person. My daughter's a beach person, but my son's a mountain person too. He feels the same way I do. It's like, you know, we'd much rather be in the mountains than
so
in a flat area.
What is it about the mountains? Is it like peaceful for you? Do you feel at home there?
Yeah, it's like it feels safe and like home.
Safe and secure?
Yeah.
Got it. And when you've traveled, did you enjoy the traveling, or did you just would really rather be home?
No, I just wanted to be home.
Got it.
Home is my favorite place.
And what makes that so important to you?
I just lost my father, but up until September, my parents were here, and I've just always been very close to my family, and I lost my mother 6 years ago to cancer. But like I said, up until September, my dad was still here. And, of course, my son's only 16, so he's in school here.
Got it. All right, let's stop there. Carla, thank you so much. And I really get a sense that that was, I mean, number one, I appreciate your courage. Thank you. I beg your pardon. It took some bravery to speak up just then, so I really appreciate that. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Listening to Carla, what did you get are her values? What things did you hear are most important to her? Anybody volunteer it? Or for the sake of time, I'm going to have to jump in here, but it's so much better if you do it.
By the way, I think it's a star 7 to unmute yourself if you've muted yourself.
Great. Thanks, Mary Kay.
Yeah.
If you can hear me, home seems like a major value.
Oh, huge. And what about it? Who's speaking, please?
My name is Jill.
Hey, Jill. Thanks. So yeah, home and family, right?
Yeah, family and security.
Huge. Yep. Mm-hmm. Safety and security. Those were the things that were important to Carla. Now, to give you a sense in terms of listening for people's values, when she first mentioned travel, did anybody do what I did, which is think, oh, she loves to travel? Oh, she really wants to travel? Anybody else do that? No?
Yeah,
okay.
I was going that direction.
Yeah, because it sounded like there was regret in her voice that she couldn't travel.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an assumption I was about to make. That's a marvelous way not to listen.
Right.
And especially in prospecting, we do that with people all the time. Have you ever had the experience of wanting the business and the opportunity more for people than they wanted it for themselves?
All the time.
Right. That's because you're not really listening to them. If you had, you know, jumped on Carla about travel, you'd have lost her. You would have lost her right away. But as the conversation continued, and I simply asked her, Carla, were you uncomfortable with the conversation at all, or was it comfortable? You still
no,
here,
dear? Yeah, I'm still here. I put myself on mute so you wouldn't hear my dog barking.
Thank you.
No, I wasn't uncomfortable with it.
Good. Was it enjoyable for you?
Yes.
How did you feel about the conversation? Can you answer that?
Well, it was pleasant and interesting. I mean, knowing that there were people listening to me was a little nerve-wracking, but
it's a little artificial, that's for sure, and I understand that. And so I deeply appreciate you hanging in with that. But it wasn't uncomfortable for you.
No. I mean, you're very easy to talk to.
Right. And do you know why?
I presume the right answer to that would be because you listen.
that would be true, and that would be kind of like telling the teacher what the answer you thought the teacher wanted to hear. Here's why that's so comfortable. And Carla, you may be shy about my saying this, and don't be, because this is universally true. What made it comfortable is I was talking about your favorite subject.
Which is me.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not because you're self-centered, egotistical. It has nothing to do with any of those negative things. Good friend of mine, Richard Brook. And if you come to the weekend, by the way, you will be spending that weekend with his goddaughter, who is my 7-year-old, Ellie. Richard first told me this story many, many, many years ago, and it's from it's a true story from the editor of Psychology Today. One of the editors of Psychology Today was writing a book, and it was research. To do research, he bought himself a plane ticket from New York to L.A., and the task he set himself in his research was that he would not give any information about himself to the person who he sat next to. He would only ask questions. And in fact, he got a first-class ticket. He's sitting up front. Somebody comes and sits next to him, and he starts asking questions. And for 6 hours, that's all he does. He volunteers no information, no declarative statements. He's only asking questions. And the plane lands in L.A., and he asks the person he sat next to if they would make the time to be interviewed by his research assistant. And they said yes. And two things came out of that interview that were really remarkable. One is that the person sitting next to the editor of Psychology Today did not know his name, which was perfect indication that he volunteered no information at all. But the second thing was really extraordinary, and that was that this person sitting next to the editor of Psychology Today, who asked questions for 6 hours, said that the editor was the most fascinating person he'd ever met in his life. When I ask you about you, and I don't do it in an interrogating manner, and I hope, Carla, you heard or got genuine curiosity and sincerity, and folks, you can't fake that one. You've got to be genuinely curious about people. I want to know what's important to Carla, what makes her tick. Now, there were many things. I'm a mountain guy. I'm a Capricorn. I'm a goat. I live on mountains. When we first moved to Charlottesville, Virginia, we lived on the top of Buck's Elbow Mountain, the very top, tippy top. And we just moved after 7 years of being on the side of that same mountain in a different house, different location. So I've got luck, and look at the connections, and I'll tell you something. You will make connection after connection after connection after connection after connection with people when you listen and get into conversation like this. We connected in the fact that she's in Roanoke. We're both in Virginia. I'm in Charlottesville, not far away. We connected on the fact of health. I didn't get into it with her. Find out more about her condition, what that's like, what she's doing, the results she's having with her products that she's taking. All about her family, and certainly the love of the mountains. And look at the connection with, you know, she didn't know about the Appalachians being the oldest mountain range in the world. So we moved, we made a connection in the beginning, which is, hi, hello, how are you? We moved into relationship. Carla and I have a relationship now. And we began friendship. We began to connect in a number of ways. I've got an appreciation for her. And she's got some appreciation for me. And that was all in about 3 to 4 minutes. Now, if I was in prospecting mode, I would end the conversation something like, and this is a little contrived, but you'll get it. Carla, you're really interesting. I'd love to talk to you more. Do you have an email address, or would you be willing to give me a phone number where I could call you back and talk to you sometime? I've got to go now. And Carla, if I'd asked you that, what would your answer be?
Yes, sure.
Cool. Now, I get her email address, and the first thing I do after I hang up when I come back is I go on Google and I hunt for something having to do with the Appalachians, maybe some history, maybe the business about them being the oldest mountain range in the world. So maybe I just find it on Wikipedia, and I send Carla an email, and I say, hey, it was great to meet you. You know, I'm really saddened by your physical condition and would love to learn more about that and see if there was any way that I could help you. And I went and found this article about the Appalachian Mountains and how old they are in their geology, and I thought you'd be interested. And if Carla talked to me about horses, or Carla talked to me about kids, or Carla was interested in my son going to Japan, or that, you know, my daughter going to Hawaii and that was too far away, any of these things, all of these things are places where I could begin to exchange and create a relationship with her. And why am I doing all of this? Because I'm a network marketer. I'm in direct sales. My business will succeed based on getting into partnership with people that we really fall in like with each other and who would have a great time doing this business, who could benefit from my products or who could benefit from my business opportunity. I'm looking for the fit. And I don't know if Carl is a fit. But what I will spend the next amount of my time with Carla doing is finding out if she is a fit for my business. And you know what? If she's not, we will be friends. And Carla has some friends. Maybe 5, maybe 10, maybe 100, maybe 200, maybe 1,200. And all of those people that Carla knows, I now have some access to. There's your hot market, your warm market, and your cold market. Your hot market are people who will take a look just because you said so. Your warm market are people who you may have to talk a little bit more to, but they'll also take a look and be open to what you have to say. And then there's the cold market. And there are a gazillion people in the cold market, and the game with the cold market is you got to warm them up. And you do that by relationshiping and friendshipping, by having conversations with them about their values. And in the Greatest Networker Weekend, I'm going to do this where do you live conversation back and forth, and then have the other people do, you know, some of the participants do this conversation back and forth and coach them about, okay, what did you just hear now? Where did you go with that? What questions are you thinking of asking right now? So that we can really develop the skills of asking questions and listening, truly listening for the answers. So we're getting up against our time. Does anybody have any questions or quick comments they want to make? Because we really got to stop. We're way over. Going once?
Just thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you. Thanks for being here. Let me remind you one more time, please. There are, you've got the speaking and listening quiz is there on this webcast. If you just use the link and go to the webcast page, you can get that. There's also a PDF special report called The Four Cornerstones of Get Rich Slow. That lays out a simple business philosophy, which includes speaking and listening, use, recommend, and sponsor, coaching and leadership, some stuff about marketing, looking for the fit. It's got some really good stuff in it that I think you'll appreciate. And the website, once again, is johnmiltonfogg.com/TGN weekend, spelled out, TGNWEEKEND. When you go there, you can download and keep a copy of basically the printing galley in PDF of The Greatest Networker in the World. And the MP3 of that entire book, read by the author, is also there for you to listen online, download. It's yours to keep. Please go check it out. And I would love to have you for this weekend. If you are up for changing your life for the better forever, think about it. Give me a call. I'd be happy to talk to you about it and help you find out if this – If my dog would be a fit for you.
Yes. Must be a creature going by.
That's Reggae, who will also be at the weekend. All right. Thank you so much for being here. I'm sorry?
How you doing? My name's Rick. I'm from Long Island.
Hi, Rick.
Do you do a call every week?
I'm sorry, sir?
Do you do a weekly call like this?
No, I do not. I could be persuaded, but I'll probably do another call like this for in terms of turning people on to this weekend. I do a thing, Rick, you may be interested in called the Mastermind Sessions, themastermindsessions.com. Those are not interactive calls, but they are hour-long calls along with ebooks and more recordings and bonuses and stuff like that. And that's less than $10 a month. And there are, there are 140 of those interviews there, Rick. So check that out. It's very cool.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're very welcome. Anything for anyone else?
I have one more question.
Sure.
When you're prospecting someone and you're listening to what they're saying, how do you take what they're saying and turn it around and use it to your advantage?
I don't. I'm looking for the fit. If I turn it around and use it to my advantage, I just manipulated them. And I don't do it that way. People can feel that. They know when that's happening. So what I'm doing is listening to find out if this is the kind of person I can help with my products. Do they have a problem I can solve? Do they have a problem I can solve in terms of my opportunity? Are they going to be a fit for me? And when I say a fit for me, Rick, I'm talking like shoes. You know, I'm a size 10. Size 8s don't work for me. Size 11s don't work for me. I'm looking
so
for
doing,
a size... Sorry?
So in doing so, you've, in a way, you're disqualifying people.
Well, I'm qualifying and disqualifying.
Okay.
What I'm looking for is, number one, to get into as many new relationships with people as I can get into. Move those relationships into friendships. And if it is appropriate, if we are clicking, if the chemistry is right, if the needs and wants on both sides could be filled by a partnership, then I'm going to offer the partnership. And I'm going to say something like, hey, Rick, I'm in a network marketing business. I'd love to tell you about it. And the reason I'd love to tell you about it is because from our conversations together, I've noticed this, this, and this about you. Now, I'm going to make some stuff up here, Rick, because I don't know you at all. You know, I've noticed that you've got a strong drive for success, and I think you've got some real leadership qualities, Rick, and that you're good with people. That you want to help people and partner up with people. That's the kind of person that I'm looking for. I think you'd be perfect for this, and I'd love you to give me 5 or 10 minutes to tell you all about it. Can we make a time to talk some more? That's an example of the segue, but it would come naturally out of the conversation, Rick.
Okay.
I'm not big on scripts. I'm big on the skills behind them. And I, admittedly, in the beginning, you may need to use a script. You may need to learn a script. Make sense?